I propose to you the truth is marriage does not have to die.
No marriage is perfect, but every marriage can get better. We've been talking about it today with Mark and Jill Savage about their book, No More Perfect Marriages. We have some time here remaining in the program to bring another look at the conversation of marriage, particularly those that have gone through loss and failure. And for that, we go to Justin and Tricia Davis. They return to ministry following a four-year journey of restoration in their own experience. And listen as they share a bit about their conversation. This is a portion of our conversation we had talking about their book, Beyond Ordinary. Go back kind of to the early days of your marriage. As you've indicated, you know, this was 10 years of marriage and 10 years of ministry. So God had ignited something in your life about serving him, right, until it kind of came undone.
Yeah, I mean, I think from an early age, I just felt like, you know, God had called me into ministry. And when Trish and I met in Bible college, it was just this instant connection between us personally and emotionally, but even more so spiritually. I just felt like, you know, that ministry is something that we could do together. We could pour our lives in, and we just had this belief that we could change the world through the local church. And so we got married early. We got married, we were 20 and 21 years old, and just kind of grew up together in the church. I think that was one of the biggest, you know, one of the biggest problems that we began to recognize after, you know, the affair was, you know, we were separated for 2 months. We didn't talk for the first 10 days of our separation, and God used that time and that experience to begin to break my heart and really desire to have a different marriage, and not with this other person, but with Trish. I wanted to reconcile our marriage, and I wanted our marriage to be different and whole and brand new. And so I started going to counseling as well. But one of the things we recognized early on in counseling, I remember being with our oldest son at the house I was staying at, and I told him, I said, you know, he asked me if mom and I were going to get divorced. He said, are you and mom going to get divorced? And I said, I don't know. I said, but I do know I'm not going to be the pastor of the church anymore. And he just flipped out. I mean, he just said, you have to be the pastor of the church. I'm the pastor's son. Like, you have to be the pastor. And it was just this realization for me that I'd spent the first 10 years of our marriage building my identity around what I did for God rather than who I was in God. And it was just a realization that just because you do ministry doesn't necessarily mean that your heart is always connected to God's heart. And so there was a really defining moment for us as a family. Not just, we didn't want to just fix our marriage. We really wanted to kind of, I guess, deconstruct the identities and the preconceived notions and really the baseline of our entire relationship with Christ to be able to go back and rebuild that rather than try to rebuild our family or rebuild our ministry, because without rebuilding our relationship with Christ, none of that other stuff was going to last or matter anyway.
Looking back, were there some cracks in the foundation that maybe you ignored, you didn't notice, or maybe you didn't think mattered?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, we did the typical, you know, we try to do date nights, and we, you know, try to do all the stuff that people put on Instagram and Facebook. You know, you see the best parts of them. We did that stuff, you know, before social media even existed. But, you know, I had, you know, policies where I wouldn't, you know, ride in a car with a female by myself. I wouldn't, you know, counsel a female behind a closed door. Like, we had all of the things in place outwardly looking in that it would take to protect yourself from infidelity. There was just hidden parts of my life. You know, I was sexually abused when I was a kid. I struggled with pornography for the first 10 years of our marriage and never disclosed any of that stuff. And so if you can't hide wounds for your entire life and think that you're going to be able to have healthy relationships. And so we say all the time, we had the best marriage that we could build given our sense of brokenness. And there were parts of our hearts that were broken that we didn't even know were broken until we, you know, until we crashed and burned and then began, you know, the process of counseling. So I think that there was this outward facade, or not even a facade, but there was this outward desire and outward effort to try to build a healthy marriage, the problem was the interior of our soul and hearts and really our life together was eroding. And I don't think either of us, until it crashed and burned, I don't think either of us were aware of the dangerous aspect of our marriage relationship until it actually imploded.
You know, I think the best gift our counselor has ever given us is he told us that you can't heal a wound that you don't give a name to. And so Justin and I were fighting all of these wounds that we weren't naming, and they were just becoming toxic. And so our first year into marriage, I grew up with great parents, and they didn't know the Lord when I was younger, but they came to faith when I was like in elementary school. And so I had great memories of my parents being married. And now a year into my marriage, my parents were getting divorced after 25 years. And I didn't realize that the unforgiveness that I had for my dad's choices and their marriage ending, I was projecting on Justin. And so I was almost treating Justin as if he had already had an affair when he didn't, because it was this weird, I think for us as women, like we love our husbands so much, we love our kids so much that then we become so, you know, controlling of the situation, because not because we're controlling people, but because we want to make sure we don't lose what we love. And so I was very controlling of how we raised our kids and what date night should look like. Like I would just sweat the small things, and I didn't realize I was doing it. And what it was conveying is I don't respect Justin. At the same time, I knew that there was something always off in our marriage relationship, and I couldn't figure it out. And, you know, the Bible talks about that when you don't have words to pray, that the Holy Spirit goes before you. Scripture says, with groans, there are no words. And so for the first 10 years of our marriage, I would just feel that groaning in my spirit, like something is not right, not realizing that Justin was secretly struggling with pornography. And so you just have this whirlwind of dysfunction hidden behind the background, some of it hidden on purpose and some of it hidden that we didn't even know we were hiding, that it was all under this umbrella of us being in ministry. And we have this formula that if we loved God and we loved each other, then I don't know, marriage would just work itself out. And then here we were 10 years into marriage, and you know you're in a really dangerous place in your marriage relationship where you've just lost the will to fight. You don't want to fight anymore. You're just kind of done. And that's where Justin and I, that's where we got to a place of, and you don't wake up and say, I want to have an affair. Most of us, we start to drift in the little things in our marriage relationship that eventually become big things. And if you were to ask me that perspective 10 years ago when the confession happened, I would not have been able to tell you that perspective. That perspective has come through years of counseling and figuring out and recognizing that ministry, the bride of Christ, did not destroy my marriage, but rather who Justin and I became in ministry did. And so, you know, it's principles of forgiveness and truth telling that we have to choose even now, 20 years into marriage, every day, because we know if we don't offer forgiveness daily, if we don't speak truth daily, then it doesn't matter if we wrote a book, it doesn't matter if we're back in ministry, all of us still have the ability to drift in our marriage relationship. The difference with us today is now we know the consequences.
Tricia, there are people listening now that are thinking, Tricia, how could you, with this truth-telling missing in some ways, how could you begin to even hope to rebuild trust after this terrible break in your relationship?
Yeah, well, before I could trust again, I needed to learn how to forgive first. And, you know, forgiveness is something that you offer for free, but trust is earned. And just kind of failing along the way of just trying to understand forgiveness. And, you know, Jesus says in the book of Matthew, he talks about, you know, that we should forgive each other not 7 times, but 70 times seven. And I believe that it wasn't a mathematical equation, but it was really Jesus saying that forgiveness is a process, that when we when we recognize that forgiveness sets us free. Now, forgiveness oftentimes gets confused with trust, but they are two very different things. And what forgiveness says is that I'm going to show you grace, and in the forgiveness, the power of forgiveness sets you free. It doesn't excuse the behavior that was done towards you or the wound that was done towards you, but it prevents that wound. It prevents that person from destroying who God called you to be. And so when we understand the process of forgiveness that Christ has given us, the Bible says when we've been forgiven much, we love much. And so we had to figure out how to walk through forgiveness, not only me forgiving Justin, but Justin learning to forgive himself. And I think as we walked that road, we realized that trust is earned. So what does it mean to rebuild trust? And, you know, people ask us all the time, you know, our story is becoming so common that usually people, especially on the radio, as soon as they hear that that's our story, there's just this temptation to turn it off, because it's like, who is having a successful marriage? You know, why is all these affairs? It can feel very daunting and lifeless, but I want people listening to remember that God designed marriage for a purpose, and not for us to feel like we're failing one another, but it's the most beautiful relationship that, you know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, it talks about that although Adam and his wife were both naked, neither of them felt shame. That God's vision for our marriage is for intimacy, that the vision is for us to be fully known and fully loved. And so if we want to have thriving marriages, we have to be willing to fully expose all of our heart. And for the first 10 years, both Justin and I stayed hidden. And so we were trying to have the best marriage that we could have, and it wasn't working. I think now, as the truth was out and we were learning to forgive, trust was being rebuilt because God was creating us completely new. Like, for the first time, I think in Justin's whole adult life, he wasn't hiding about being abused as a child. He wasn't carrying that wound. He wasn't hiding his struggle with pornography. We were getting help through a counselor, and we were doing the hard work of love, and now we were seeing the fruits of it. It was like Justin, I said to him, in those days, like he was rebuilding trust. He was finally becoming the man that I always thought that he was. That I was so sad that he struggled on his own for so long, because there was more damage in the hiddenness than if he would have just trusted me in the beginning to share his heart. And so the marriage we have now is what I feel is that Genesis passage where we are fully known, which is really scary because we're like still broken, messed up people. You know, even knowing all these things, we still fail each other. You know, Justin still struggles to drive, and I still, you know, struggle to cook good food. You know, there's things that we always still laugh and get on each other's nerves, but we are 100% completely known. And at the end of the day, when you know that you are fully loved and fully known, that's where trust begins to be rebuilt.
Justin and Tricia Davis, or Mark and Jill Savage, find all the programs online at myfaithradio.com. Click on Connecting Faith.